In the wake of tragedy, not so much the tragedy itself that we're going to talk about, but what happens in the wake of tragedy. In the Hebrew Testament, we read from Psalm 78, verses 1 through 4. Listen, dear friends, to God's truth. Bend your ears to what I tell you. I'm chewing on the morsel of a proverb. I'll let you in on the sweet old truths, stories we heard from our fathers, counsel we learned at our mother's knee. We're not keeping this to ourselves. We're passing it along to the next generation. God's fame and fortune, the marvelous things He has done. And then in the New Testament, 1 Corinthians 12, verses 4 through 13. God's various gifts are handed out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere, but God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. And I interrupt the scripture reading to say, at this moment, I had to stop and think, what does this mean? I found myself busy with this for over an hour, thinking, wondering, saying, my God, there are several messages in here. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Everyone gets in on it. Everyone benefits. All kinds of things are handed out by the Spirit and to all kinds of people. The variety is wonderful. Wise counsel, clear understanding, simple trust, healing the sick, miraculous acts, proclamation, distinguishing between spirits, tongues, interpretation of tongues. All these gifts have a common origin, but are handed out one by one by this one Spirit of God. He decides who gets what and when. You can easily enough see how this kind of thing works by looking no further than your own body. Your body has many parts, limbs, organs, cells, but no matter how many parts you can name, you're still one body. It's exactly the same with Christ. By means of His one Spirit, we all said goodbye to our partial and piecemeal lives. We each used to independently call our own shots. But then we entered into a large and integrated life in which He has the final say in everything. Here ends our reading of Scripture. May God help us to really understand and to apply God's will to our lives. Once again, we are in the midst of the hurricane season. Bill, the first hurricane of the 2009 Atlantic season, is expected to weaken further today as it moves over cooler waters. Now, whether we as Floridians enjoy doing so or not, most of us track every storm with potential to come our way. Question is, how do you prepare for something that seems to threaten you, something that you have no control over? Well, I looked and I looked and I came across some well-meant advice in this regard. They say step one is Buy enough supplies to last your family for at least 3 days. Step 2, put these supplies into your car. Step 3, drive to Nebraska and remain there till Halloween. Well, Hurricane Bill has passed us by, but we know better than letting our defenses down. The watchword remains, be prepared. And most of us have had experience of having to put our lives and plans on hold while thinking about plywood, generators and chainsaws. And today, for the second time, we are united with brothers and sisters in Christ across our state. Because last year we did so for the first time, today for the second, we observe Disaster Relief Recognition Sunday. And I want to tell you how this came about. Just more than 2 years ago, a group of youth, Florida youth of the United Church of Christ, had a meeting and a camp, and they had quite an agenda, and they spoke about our church and about their calling in the church. And finally, they got very serious and they came up with a manuscript, and they drafted it together while they were camping together. And then they published it as a plea to all of us. And here is the statement that our young people made. And you know, this is so fantastic. We usually expect that these wise words would come from maturer and older people. And right from the heart of our young people, there came an outcry, contagious to all who love God. Not only in our church, but all churches. We're disturbed, they said, by the continued lack of proper care and assistance to the poor, the destitute, the elderly, and the children of victims of the recent hurricanes, such as Hurricane Katrina. And then they spoke about the wildfires in California, tornadoes, flooding, and a list of such disasters. And then they continue saying, such conditions appear to be treated as yesterday's news, when in fact they are a present reality for those most in need. And then they go on, but they concluded this part with a quote from Psalm 82. Saying, give justice to the weak and the orphan, to maintain the right of the lowly and the destitute. And as a result of that, the decision was made that churches across the state on the last Sunday of August in future will remember those in need more than we will ever expect. These tragedies have an aftermath that we cannot underestimate. So our church is part of that statewide initiative, not only to help ourselves be prepared, but equally importantly, to do our part as God's people to help those in sudden and extreme need in the wake of tragedy. And I just want to tell you something about this church. I'll never forget that. Just after Katrina, unannounced, we didn't have time to even let people know, and we just decided immediately help as needed. And there was a collection that morning for Katrina. I remember the amount, over $14,000 came out of these pews, and we could send it immediately to help people. So let me just tell you, there are hearts beating for the needy right here in our church, and we thank God for that. It's not only to help ourselves to be prepared, but equally important to do our part as God's people to help those in this extreme and sudden need in the wake of so many tragedies. And that's the focus of today's scripture. Paul says, God's various ministries are carried out everywhere, but they all originate in God's Spirit. Put it in common language. God's Spirit can do something in this church this morning that will change how you and I think, what we do, and how we respond. And later in our lives, we'll realize I cannot take credit for whatever. Because that moment God spoke in my heart and it became clear to me what God wants me to do. Paul says God's various expressions of power are in action everywhere. But God Himself is behind it all. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. Third time this morning. Each person is given something to do that shows who God is. What have you done lately? Not for your own honor and glory, but simply to show what God is. What God planted in your heart, in your life, and in mine. Not seeking recognition, but knowing deep inside that is what God wants me to do. You see, because the Bible tells us who we are, we here in Cocoa Beach, and what a privilege to be part of this church, the oldest in Cocoa Beach. More than 60 years ago, first people that came down here in connection with the space program made their residence here in this neighborhood. And here they formed a first congregation. And it's now so much longer, later. And we now call ourselves, still call ourselves, a church family. Now, I take a little bit of credit for the word church family. Because many people joined. No, they did not join. They just started coming. And they came and they ignored many, many invitations to formally join. And before we knew it, we loved them and we cared for them. And we said, we can't call you members, but you are family. You're part of us. And this family of God is growing to the honor and the glory of God. But the Bible doesn't give us any credit. Shouldn't. The Bible says that God called us out of darkness into God's marvelous light. And then it is brought home in 1 Peter 2 verse 10, where it says, once you were not a people, but now you are God's people. Once you had not received mercy, but now you have received mercy. This is who we are. We are God's people. Think whom we represent when we live with ourselves, when we seek what to do, when we think of the future. Think who we are. Just a gathering of men and women who decided to come together. No, I think we saw this morning where it started. Somewhere, somehow in our lives, we became aware of the presence of God. And we responded. And we formed a circle from where we can respond as one. We are God's people. You know, this is something that comes for many, many centuries, and more than 5,000 years, as far as we know. You see, Abraham's people always knew who they were in spite of their existence as wanderers. Oh, they got into many battles. You remember the Old Testament. They got in many problems. And several times they were just about wiped out. But they went on and on through the centuries. And they always remembered Abram, Isaac, Jacob. And that is the story, what went from parent to child and offsprings into the future. Not simply because Abram was their father, but because they felt a real connection with the road their ancestors have traveled. The God that brought them through the desert. The light that took them home. Right to the heart of God. And that gave them their identity. And it still does today, wherever the children of Abraham may roam. And we share that, because that is the foundation from which Christianity sprung up. But we add something. We say that our spiritual heritage includes the God of Jesus Christ is our God. We make an effort to define it a bit further. That's who we are, and that's all we want to be. Because Jesus taught us what God is like. Jesus opened the window through which we could look into eternity and get a picture of a father, a loving parent, a God who loves enough to care for us, not only in the past, but in the present, into the future. We are God's family. We're God's children. And that's what Jesus told us. That's the link that makes everything fall into place. It's within the family of God that we also receive our values. It's within the family of God that we draw our support when we venture out into the world. God's family is the designated place where we can turn to for love. We say with Peter, once we were no people, but now we are God's people. Look around you. See the family members who are here to receive our love and who in return want to show their love to us. We are one in the Spirit as servants, as ambassadors, as witnesses, as we seek to extend a helping hand, bringing forgiveness and reconciliation to the world. So that brings us to the deepest question, where is God? When people are left in crisis after tragedy strikes. And there's only one answer to that question. The answer to that question is another question. Where is the church after tragedy strikes? Where are you and I after tragedy strikes? Our Christian faith taught us where we should be. If we are truly God's people, if we are carrying God's love, if we are carrying God's message, we are around after tragedy because we are binding wounds, we are comforting the grieving, we are offering food to the hungry, and we do so in God and Jesus' precious name. And people will not ask, but they will see, they will understand, and they will know. If I'm seeking God, God is to be found in the presence of His people on earth. There may be a visitor here this morning, came for whatever reason, wondering, what shall I find in that Cocoa Beach Community Church? They will know that we are God's people in the way we treat one another, trust one another, live with one another. They will know that we are God's people when they realize that we are a family, God's family. So when tragedy strikes, you will know where God's people is. Bible says we're ambassadors for Christ. Since God is making His appeal through us, and even in the midst of the most horrifying of human events, God is with us, inviting, urging, and finally sending us back into the world, not only in the midst of crisis, but always, every day of our lives. And if our faith doesn't conclude that, then we need the action. The one big question, what does God want me to do? You've heard God's word. We love to sing, "Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. Pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too. I will hold the Christ light for you in the shadow of your fear. I will hold my hand out to you, speak the peace you long to hear. I will weep when you are weeping. When you laugh, I will laugh with you. I will share your joy and sorrow until we've seen this journey through. Won't you let me be your servant? Let me be as Christ to you. And pray that I may have the grace to let you be my servant too." Amen.